This is a podcast from the Property and Environment Research Center in Bozeman, Montana. FERC is dedicated to improving environmental quality through property rights and markets. Learn more about our work at perc.org, perc.org, where you can hear more stories about environmental improvement driven by market innovation. Whether it's oil spills, endangered species, or fracking, when it comes to environmental issues, most people see conflict. But EnviroPreneurs see opportunity. They replace conflict with cooperation and rhetoric with results.
Environmental entrepreneurs, or as I like to call them, EnviroPreneurs, see opportunities where others see problems. They are optimists. I'm Terry Anderson, an economist who's devoted my career to fostering market solutions for environmental quality. I'm here to share the stories of EnviroPreneurs in action. The story today begins in Yellowstone National Park, where wolves once roamed but were exterminated by trapping, shooting, and poisoning. The mere mention of wolves conjures up many images, depending on the hat you wear. From under the bonnet, Little Red Riding Hood's eyes widened at the thought of one wolf, the big bad wolf. From under a broad-brimmed cowboy hat, ranchers see wolves as predators that prey on livestock, destroying their family's source of income. For them, the optimal number of wolves is zero. For the bandana-wearing environmentalist, wolves are a keystone predator, which, as an assistant Yellowstone Park superintendent told me, represent the last missing link in the ecosystem. This is why environmentalists campaigned in the 1990s for wolf reintroduction into Yellowstone. Their efforts were successful, and 19 wolves were relocated from Canada into the park in 1995. Because there are so many different perspectives on wolves, the path to reintroduction was a bumpy one. I'm here with Hank Fisher, a quintessential environmental entrepreneur who helped smooth out some of those bumps. In 1987, Hank saw opportunity in wolf reintroduction and used his skills as an EnviroPreneur to bridge the gaps among many of these various perspectives. Today, Hank joins us to share his story. Welcome, Hank.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
I'd like you to start by telling us just how you got involved in wolf reintroduction in Yellowstone.
Well, I'd say I got involved in wolf reintroduction the way many other people did after wolves were exterminated in the 1920s. A whole line of people thought, geez, they really needed to be restored because we had these large populations of elk and moose and deer and bighorn sheep and really didn't have predators. And so it clearly there was a species missing in the whole system. For the most part, the most effective large predator on those animals is the wolf. You know, some people are suggesting already that we are seeing more growth in vegetation along streams and rivers in Yellowstone Park as a consequence of wolves making elk more wary and having to stay more in timbered areas rather than just staying in the river bottoms and foraging there all the time.
Certainly, as you entered into this fray, you must have found that not everybody thought you were a good guy.
No, I mean, I got started in this, probably in the early 1980s. And, the concept then was I started looking at it, and really the only real impediment to wolf restoration in Yellowstone was the potential for livestock loss. And I got the notion that, hey, I could go out and talk to every one of these ranchers and try to figure out how could we go about having wolf reintroduction that they would find acceptable. Probably the most memorable one was I hosted a public meeting in St. Anthony, Idaho. I think it was in 1984. And I invited the local ranchers who were potentially affected by wolf reintroduction to come and visit and explain some of their views to me. I remember walking into this little schoolhouse, and there were probably about 20 cowboy hats bobbing around in the room, and I was beginning to think maybe the odds weren't so good. And then I, at the back of the room, I saw an old sheep rancher that I had had some run-ins with previously over predator control issues, and I no sooner started to give my talk, and he stood up and shouted, "Hank Fisher, you mean nobody's killed you yet?" But it actually was a very instructive meeting for me. It wasn't that people necessarily hated wolves. It wasn't the Little Red Riding Hood stuff and all that. It was, it was an economic issue. It was that, wolves were going to kill their livestock. And, why should ranchers have to pay for wolf restoration?
And how did you overcome that concern?
It was 1984, and William Penn Mott became the director of the Park Service. And he told me that the single most important action that conservation groups could take to advance Yellowstone wolf restoration would be to start a compensation fund. He said, pay ranchers for their losses and the controversy will subside. At the same time, wolves were coming back naturally to northwestern Montana. And within a year or so of wolves coming back, there was an incident where there was livestock depredation. And I went to the organization I was working for, Defenders of Wildlife, and suggested to them that we raise money to compensate these ranchers for the livestock that they lost. I have to say the initial reaction that people had internally when this was proposed to them was, geez, why would we pay ranchers? They're the enemy. They're the ones who are causing all the problems for wolves. They're the ones who want to kill them all the time. Why would we give them money? And, it was hard for people to come around to the notion that taking economic responsibility for these livestock losses was going to help solve our problem of wolf restoration. And the interesting part is when they did that, the controversy subsided. I can't say that it made livestock producers fall in love with wolves or anything like that, but I think what it did was it helped build tolerance.
Enviropreneurs look for win-win solutions, which avoid the fight. By compensating ranchers for livestock losses caused by wolves, Hank and Defenders of Wildlife were saying, "We understand your concerns and we're willing to help you. We want to work with you, not against you." Sure, some ranchers still don't like wolves and wish reintroduction had never occurred. But most of those compensated have no complaints. As one rancher from Idaho put it, "I'm satisfied because Defenders has compensated for what they have agreed to compensate for." He essentially was agreeing with Hank that Hank had engaged in a contract and was holding up his end of the bargain.
Enviropreneurs find new ways to improve the environment through free enterprise. Thanks to these innovators, yesterday's environmental problems are today's environmental success stories. You've been listening to a presentation of the Property and Environment Research Center, a research institute dedicated to improving environmental quality through property rights and markets. Learn more about us at PERC.org, PERC.org, where you can hear more stories of environmental improvement driven by market innovation.